Today on Vox Talks Economics, does improving school management also improve student performance? Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Every week we bring you the best new research in economics. So remember, follow us, then you'll never miss an episode. You can find clips and more information on Instagram as well at Vox Talks Economics. Whether you are looking at the link from education to economic growth, to household earnings, or to individual happiness, there is no doubt that a better educated population is good news. But how can policy improve education in a cost-effective way? Well, maybe a good route would be to improve the management of schools. An experiment in Brazil has evaluated a program to do exactly this in Rio de Janeiro. Tiago Cavalcanti of the University of Cambridge, São Paulo School of Economics, and a CEPR fellow, of course, and Felipe Puccioni of the Court of Accounts of Rio de Janeiro are the authors of a paper with some encouraging news from this experiment. Welcome, Tiago.
Thank you very much, Tim, for the invitation.
And welcome, Felipe, as well.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Tim.
Felipe, before we get going, I really have to ask you, what is the Court of Accounts? It sounds a bit scary.
It's a specialized court that focuses on government and public spending. That's it.
Tiago, you write in the paper that students, especially underprivileged students, are being schooled but not necessarily educated. What's the difference? What do you mean?
Let me give you a background, Tim, if I may. So when I was a kid in the 70s and 80s in Brazil, there were many literate people. 25% of the population in Brazil, they were illiterate by the 1970s and 1980s. And in the 1990s, Brazil started to do universal access to education. And nowadays, probably you can say there is universal access to education for children in Brazil. When you started to increase, expand the system of education, the quality of education, the delivery of education, probably that a challenge that the public sector faced to deliver that. But that's already, you know, about 30 years that we provide this universal access to education has trying to improve that. And when you look at many different measures of test scores over the last 15 years of the PISA, for instance, which is the international assessment of education across countries, but also over time within a country, and you see that Brazil basically is the same kind of level of scores of 15 years ago. So that's really what we meant about that. So people are going to school, but when you see any kind of measure that we think of improvement in education, Brazil lags behind developed country, but also for countries with the same level of development, Brazil also lags behind. Think about Turkey, think about Chile. So Brazil is lagging behind these countries.
Nearly all developing countries are many years of learning behind developed countries. For example, 3/4 of 15-year-old Brazilian students could not achieve a, for example, proficiency level of 2 in mathematics in PISA 2022. The PISA proficiency scale goes from 1 to 6. This means that a 15-year-old Brazilian student do not meet the most basic level of proficiency. Most 15-year-old Brazilian students cannot interpret simple mathematics situations, such as comparing distances or converting local prices to dollars. Brazil had the same proportion of 15-year-old, 75%, performing below the most basic PISA proficiency in mathematics, 2003, 20 years ago also. It's sad.
And what's causing this? What are the social economic factors that are causing this disconnect between schooling and education?
I don't think there is one single reason. Brazil is a relatively poor country. The GDP per capita of Brazil is 25% of the GDP per capita of the US. Think about 30% of the UK. So there is lack of infrastructure, of course. But there are also other reasons. For instance, the majority of school in Brazil, they are not full-day school. They start in the morning, very early in the morning, then midday students, they leave. Or they start just after lunchtime, and in the beginning of the evening, they leave. But of course, the structure of incentives of schools directors, schools principals, and teachers. I think there is a role for that within the system of Brazil to improve education, not only providing the incentives of performance, but also providing skills for those to perform. Mm-hmm. So that's what we think about our intervention. We are not trying to change the education. We are not going to solve the whole problem, but within the existing structure, can we do something about?
Yes, because when you think of schools, you think of teaching, you don't so often think about management. So your intervention is based around management. Who are these managers? What precisely are they managing?
The managers are mainly principals, pedagogical coordinators, supervisors also. They need to manage food, facilities, the budget of the school, safety of children, manage teachers, students, and the learning process, as well as many other daily challenges.
And is there a consensus? Do we agree on what good management is in this context?
Based on our study and previous studies from the World Management Survey, we observed that the 23 best management practices as identified by the World Management Survey, again, when implemented in public schools, boosted students' learning outcomes. For example, leadership practices, target setting, operation, monitoring is very important also, and people management. But people management in Brazilian public administration is very hard to change, to improve, because the law is very strict on control the performance of civil servants in Brazil. It's not easy.
We are thinking here about simple monitoring practice, right? So there is some target about performance of the students, and then you follow the students over time. And are the students falling behind or not? If they are falling behind, what do you do? Are absenteeism of students or teachers above some target? If they are, what should we do? So that's really practical things that you can change using technology in some way, technology in the sense, you know, like computers, spreadsheet, and also, as Felipe was mentioning, practice that people implement in generally any organization in terms of targeting low performance.
And one practice that was very powerful was one-to-one coaching sessions between principals or pedagogical coordinators with teachers. This was the main channel of the program to impact students. From these one-to-one meetings between principals and teachers, the program happened.
We had an episode about this a few years ago, and I was left with the impression, tell me if I'm wrong, that improving management at schools is one of those education policies which you would think would work. It's common sense that it would work, but the evidence base was still inconclusive. Am I correct?
That's correct, Tim. First of all, I think it's very hard to isolate the effects of management on school and student performance. Mm-hmm. Of course, one school is doing very well, has a good manager, but there are students are different and so on, the neighborhood is different and so on, the engagement of parents are different, right? So there are many things going on. The question is, how do I isolate these things? And many experiments, when the intervention similar to our intervention, they change all the things also.
Oh, right.
They change not only management, they change people, they change teachers, or they pay more, or there is a threat of a firing if people do not perform. So that's really a very hard to isolate management practice at schools and also on the performance of the students.
We have some experiments showing positive effects of management, while others have shown no effects of school management or learning. For example, in general, the no effect studies did not implement the management on a scale needed to change learning, or they did not implement the good practices. For example, in our case, we need to change management by about 0.9 standard deviation. It's a lot, it's almost one standard deviation, to change student learning by 0.24 standard deviations. We need to change a lot management and with the right practices.
Imagine that one day you are offered the chance to move out of the favela to a new, bigger house. Even better, the government is paying for 90% of your mortgage. This social program in Brazil has given millions access to better housing. But listen to our episode called Location, Location, Location from June 2024, in which Gabriel Ulisseia explains that this isn't always the lottery win that we might assume it is.
Okay, let's talk about the program. What is the program that you were evaluating here? Who created it?
When Felipe was a PhD student here at Cambridge, he wanted to change the whole education of Brazil when he arrived. And then basically I said, Felipe, let's think small a little bit. Let's think about something that we can change. And then we started brainstorm about, you know, what we could do. And we thought about very different things. In the end, credit to Felipe, he designed this experiment.
Professor Thiago was very smart because his first email to me was a seminal work from Nicholas Bloom. Mm-hmm. He implemented some of the best management practices in Indian firms and showed the impact of good management on productivity. And Thiago said to me, Felipe, we can do something like that. And we did.
Is this exclusively for school managers? And did you make sure that there weren't any of those things that Thiago was talking about, the increased funding or extra incentives to muddy the results?
The program works only with school managers, no contact with teachers, mm-hmm. no funding, only behavioral incentives. This is the secret of the programs. Low cost, for example, around 15 euros per student per year. It's very little. We coach and train school managers, only school managers, mainly to manage teachers in delivering more student learning. This is why student learning data is so important. It's a requirement to implement this program.
Tell me a little bit about the schools that were included in the experiment. What sort of schools are they? What are their challenges? A little bit about the students as well. What are their challenges? What are their backgrounds and resources?
In Brazil, public schools have students from poor background, poor families. We worked with students from 6 to 14 years old, or for example, from 1st to 9th grade. We deal with schools in areas in Rio de Janeiro controlled by criminals. It was not easy to access these schools. Mm. However, in general, the schools have good infrastructure and good facilities in Rio de Janeiro. It's not the reality on average in Brazil. We could focus only on school management.
So this is about 31,000 students. We selected 80 schools and then randomly selected from these 80 schools, 40 schools to receive the intervention and 40 schools to be the control group.
And the program was very horizontal. It was not a top-down policy, for example. We tried to influence school managers. We did not have any power to force them to comply with the program. Then this behavioral approach was very important to the success of the program.
I think this is a super important point that Felipe has raised. We talked about something that naturally school principals and directors wanted to adopt this, right? Instead of saying imposing skills, we're trying to use the civil servants that work already in the municipality of Rio de Janeiro to implement this. So I think this is really kind of an important point of our program, of our intervention, not only to evaluate academically, but also think about expanding the program. We start the program thinking, okay, we can see something that's going to generate some impact. But can we expand this to other places in Brazil? So I think that was what we had in mind when we started the program.
So the whole idea of this is to have this delivered by people who are already in the business.
That's correct, Tim. Basically, we just had a reallocation of resource within the municipality of Rio de Janeiro. We selected civil servants that were already working for the municipality to be assigned to implement the program. So there was no new hire of any other, right? Of course, Felipe had to deliver all the background mm-hmm. of the program, but we used the existing resource within the municipality of Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah, Felipe comes for free, doesn't he? So you're evaluating these outcomes. What outcomes are you evaluating? What are you measuring here?
The Secretariat of Education has had a contract since 2021 with a specialized consulting firm that develops and applies mathematics and Portuguese tests, standardized tests for all students 4 times a year. Then we have a lot of data about students. It was very important. And we implemented also 2 deep surveys on management on these 23 best management practices before the experiment and after the experiment to measure the level of management of each school regarding these best management practices.
So, do you find that the schools were better managed after this intervention?
Yes, we do. We find a large effect on management. And interesting, we found large effects on management on things that we could change. In things that we could not change, like personal, mm-hmm. we didn't find any effect.
Yeah.
But we found effects on operation, on monitoring, on targeting, on leadership, things that we could change, we have effect. Things that we couldn't change, there was no effect. So it's kind of a way to validate our intervention because we change things that we think we could change, but not the others that we could not change.
It's true. We could measure not only the impact on student learning, but we could measure the impact on management, the mechanism to achieve better student learning.
And of course, it's all about the students, ultimately. Did these students learn more? How much better were they? How far ahead at school were they?
After 2 years of intervention, treatment schools were on average 3/4 of a year ahead of control schools in Portuguese and mathematics, what we mm-hmm. could measure. These are our average treatment effect estimates. However, if we consider the heterogeneity of the treatment, some schools implemented the program more than others. 25% of schools resisted to implement the program.
Right.
25 implemented it reasonably. And half of the schools, treatment schools, implemented the program completely. If we consider these high implementation schools, 50% through an IV strategy, the impact is even larger. Students in high implementation schools were 2 years ahead of students in control schools. In 2 years, the schools gave to students 4 years of learning. They doubled their productivity of learning during the program. There were no significant differences in terms of impact between different subgroups. All subgroups benefited similarly from the program.
Okay, so you talked a little bit about how you tried to do this in a cost-effective way. Well, was it cost-effective compared to, well, the many other interventions in schools that policymakers consider?
Since we didn't hire any consulting to implement the program, we just reallocate resource of the municipality of Rio de Janeiro in the program. So we kept really the cost effectively low. So Felipe has the numbers.
Yeah, we did an exercise of comparing our costs and impact with other studies. And the program is one of the most cost-effective interventions compared to these other interventions in the literature, in Europe, in the US, and other parts of the world. At a cost of around 15 euros per student per year, we could improve student learning on average by 3/4 of a year in just 2 years.
And have you managed to get noticed? Because as you say, you designed this so it could be scaled up. Is it being scaled up?
We got noticed. So Brazil has a TV program on Sunday called Fantástico. Right? And yes, this was back almost a year ago, was in the program. Felipe became famous in Brazil. he couldn't go out on the street. We got some impact. But also in my hometown, my state, actually, Recife, which is the most beautiful city in the world, they started to implement the program too, right? So the state governor, they contact us to actually implement the program. So it's still in the early stage of the program, but the idea is to implement the program.
Rio has the largest network of public schools in the South Americas.
Right.
Then we have almost 1,000 public schools from first to ninth grade. And these practices have already spread across these schools. And it's very interesting. There are many, many cities and other states interested in the program. We are trying to plan how to implement the program in different realities. However, public schools in Brazil have a very standardized organization with principals, supervisors, pedagogic coordinators, and teachers following a strict regulation. This counts in favor of our intervention since we can act only at principal and supervisor coordinator level. However, to have an effective implementation of the program, we need regular standardized tests to be applied at least once a year. We need mm-hmm. other things. But since our intervention focuses on management, managing student performance, it is a little easier. Therefore, the primary challenge in implementing the program in other cities or states is to meet these minimum requirements of having available data about student learning at least once a year.
One point that I want to raise, Tim, if I may, is the role of the mayor of Rio de Janeiro, Eduardo Paes, and the secretary of education, Renan Ferreirinha.
Uh-huh.
So they not only allow us to implement the program, but they also support us really with the resource of the municipality of Rio de Janeiro. So this was really important. So it's a program that has academics thinking about, but needs to have also politicians that engage with academics and believe that we can deliver something.
And it's a proof of the power of cooperation. We have the president of the Court of Accounts, Guaraná, and the mayor of Rio de Janeiro and the secretary of education, Eduardo Paes and Renan Ferreirinha, respectively, supporting the program and trying to improve education in Rio de Janeiro together in cooperation. It's very important.
Policymakers often struggle at scaling up education programs. Do you have any other advice? I imagine get yourself on TV on a Sunday afternoon is a goal, but it's not always possible.
No.
But seriously, do you have advice for other policymakers who would like to implement something like this at scale?
I think, first of all, what we did should be the norm. We first have to understand whether the policy works or not. Before you scale up any policy, I think it's very important to understand what is working, what is not working. How can we change the program such that it works more? In the background, I think that's what we should do, as you know, thinking about policy making. Of course, I think the program was important in Brazil or in the Rio de Janeiro, but the structure of the Court of Accounts, the Secretary of Education, you see many other states in Brazil. So we could expand the program with existing institutional structure that you have in Brazil.
I agree with Professor Thiago. We need to test, we need causal evidence about public policies. It's very important before scale the program to every school or every place. It's important to make it easy for school managers. Policies easy to implement, easy to be adopted. School managers already have many responsibilities. Simple tools to engage these managers are very important. We need also, in schools, in education, a data culture. We need to transition from an intuitive management to professional management based on data and causal evidence.
It's a fascinating story. It's a very inspiring story, and it's great to see education policy that's working. Thank you very much for talking about it, Felipe.
Thank you, team. It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Thiago, as well. And I will concede, Recife is a very beautiful city.
Thank you, team. Yeah, it's the best one.
We'll argue about that later. The discussion paper is discussion paper 20228. It is called Boosting Student Achievement Through Cost-Effective Management. And the authors, Felipe Puccioni and Thiago Cavalcanti.
Vox Talks Economics is a Talk Normal production. The assistant producer is Megan Bieber, and our editor is Andrei Zagarian. Coming soon on Vox Talks Economics, we have just visited the Paris School of Economics CEPR Policy Forum 2025, where we've been discussing the future of work. We'll be bringing you interviews with expert researchers over the next few weeks, so follow us to get every episode and tell your friends about it as well.